in to launch from. And then we're going to go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. And then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. And while you're looking at those places and finding your place, I want to say thank you to all of you who prayed this week for me and for my family. It made a difference, and I am so grateful for that. I was on an email this morning with one of our county, our district state representatives and supervisors at Sacramento, Mike Wasserman, and he gave me some encouraging news. He didn't give me the details, but something is going to be released tomorrow. I guess all eight county health officials in the area are going to be collaborating, and then they're supposed to make an announcement of some sort that will kick into effect this Friday. He wasn't specific, and I asked him to clarify if that meant anything about churches, but he wouldn't speak to that. And so I did remind him that L.A. County, with the worst statistics in the state, is now open, and churches are having services today. My pastor is having four services today. And not complainingly, I just asked him to consider, you know, those things and pass them along, and he said that he would. I appreciate that. But here's what I know. No matter what happens this week, no matter who makes any announcements, God is still on the throne, and He is our God. And we have an obligation to serve Him and honor His hand. And I know this, we will be back together soon. Because if the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church, certainly coronavirus is not going to either. And I hope you can say amen right there in your lounge chair or in your sofa or in your bed or in your car, wherever you are. But I hope that we can just recognize that. And I appreciate that video this morning and all the good music. I thank God for it. Matthew chapter 10, Romans chapter 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First of all, let's look at Matthew chapter 10 and let's read here for a few verses. And we'll read, for the sake of time, just verses 5 through 8. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils." Notice this statement, "Freely ye have received, freely give." And I want to capitalize on that statement this morning. Freely ye have received, freely give. Now go over, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, one of the last letters that Paul, inspired by God, to write to the church is Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, notice, if you will, in verse 32. Let's begin in verse 31. "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all," notice the statement, "how shall he not with him," that is with Christ, "also freely give us all things?" Now, if you will, also go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And notice also, if you will, in verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things," notice the statement, "that are freely given to us of God." Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for this morning. I thank you, God, for the heart of our church. And God, I just know that the people who are tuning in on purpose with a purpose. God, in the days that we live in, we have to stay in fellowship with your spirit and with your body on purpose. We have to give an extra effort. Lord, it seems like it's more effort to stay in tune with the body of Christ online than it is in the pew. And God, for those that have been doing so faithfully, I just want to say thank you. Lord, I feel their prayers. I sense their heart, their spirit. And God, I'm looking forward to the day when we can come back and we fully lay that at the foot of the cross. And God, we sacrifice and set aside our own desires and wishes. And God, if it's your will that we get to meet on June 14th, then Lord, praise be to God. But if it is not your will that we come back together and measure on June 14th, then we'll praise you anyway, because we know that you are sovereign. We know that you are good and faithful. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for Jesus today. Thank you for dying, Lord Jesus, on the cross for our sin. Thank you, Lord, for salvation, that it is also freely given, and freely received. Now, Lord, I pray today that you'd use me as a channel, as a vessel, that you would help me to get out of your way. I pray that you would use me for your glory. I pray for everyone listening today that you would help them to have ears to hear. God, may we be attentive to your Spirit. And when you speak, I pray that we would take heed and respond. And I pray that you'd bless the listener today. Pray that you'd bless their homes. God, please bless their babies, their children, their grandchildren. Please bless their marriages. God, we need your help. Our country needs your help. I pray for all those that have been afflicted, God, all over the world by this disease, COVID-19. I pray for comfort and for healing. I pray that you would minister to those that have lost loved ones. And I pray, God, that you would be glorified in it all. We can't see how or where or why, but God, eternity will reveal the people who have trusted Christ as their Savior, all of the ministering that's been done in the name of Christ. And God, we'll praise you for that as well. Bless this time now in the Word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text tells us that the Lord Jesus gave his disciples power and authority to do good and to serve people in such a way that would confirm that they were in fact on the same page with the Lord Jesus Christ. What they would do, the miracles they would perform, would actually validate that they were on the same path as the Lord Jesus. Their message would be validated by their works. Now, they had freely witnessed up until this time the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had freely heard the messages. They had observed the mercy of Jesus prior to this moment. Now, the Lord had freely given them what they needed to go and to serve and minister and do good. God had said, now what I'm giving you, I want you to use and take to others. Now, they could have used this power to enrich themselves. And that's part of what Jesus was saying. Look, I don't want you to charge for this. I don't want you to use this for yourself. They could have used this power, this authority and the abilities that they had to enrich themselves. They could have used it to make a name for themselves. They could have used it for personal gain. But the Lord Jesus tells them that what they had received and how they had received it was to be given away in the same fashion that they had received it. Now, when a person is born again into the family of God, when they get saved, they are immediate beneficiaries of the Heavenly Father. It's not a delayed blessing. It's not a delayed benefit. They are at that moment adopted into the family of God, and they immediately become beneficiaries of their Father. Now, at that very moment of salvation, all spiritual gifts in high places are, according to Scripture, put into our possession, ready to be used for the glory of God. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now, for sure then, as a believer, you understand that we have been blessed. We have been surely blessed. Now, unfortunately, most Christians never realize that God never intended us to be receivers only. He meant for us to be givers. This, of course, is what Paul expressed that Jesus taught us. And it was this passage in Matthew chapter 10 that he refers to when he said, as Jesus taught us, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, that means that it's God's plan for every Christian to take into account what has been given to them and how it has been given, which is freely, and then to give all of that away in the same fashion. If you go back to Matthew chapter 10 and look at verse 8, the word freely there is freely is without reservation. There's no hesitation. I don't have to guess, should I give this to somebody? Should I not give this away? It means to give without cause. Now, there are many people in today's climate, in today's social atmosphere because of the pandemic, who have sought out ways to be a help to others because of what they're going through. Many people want to give involved. They have this heart to give away. They have a heart, and so many people are being involved. Many people are making food boxes, and they're getting things together so they can give away to people who are in need. Others are involved not just in the gathering, but the distribution of that. Others are donating blood. I heard of a couple that's donating plasma, and on a regular basis because they contracted the disease and now are over the disease, and now they're giving away their plasma in hopes that someone else could be helped. They want to be involved. And so what they have, they're willingly giving away. Some people are making congratulatory boxes for graduates, and because seniors this year didn't have a graduation and certain benefits, I suppose, of their senior year, they're trying to get together to make those students feel special. What a blessing. And they want to be involved in helping people. Some are making banners for frontline medical workers and for first responders. And all of these things show that people, where they are, because of what they're seeing, because of what's going on around them, want to be involved in giving back to others. People are giving away all sorts of things in a humanitarian effort to help other people physically. And I think it's a blessing. I really genuinely do. But what will happen if they gain the whole world, if someone gains the whole world but loses his own soul? What is it to have physical health only to eventually give way to death and go straight to hell? You see, as Christians, we don't have to wait for a crisis in order to give away what we have. We don't have to wait for a pandemic. We don't have to wait for some national crisis or worldwide crisis. And what we have to give away is actually what changes a life forever. What we have to give away makes a difference for all of eternity. Not just this life, but in the life to come. Now, this morning I want us to consider what we've received from God that we can give to others. For instance, when God saved us, He put our names in heaven, and we have the eternal security of God. We know where we're going when we die. Now, along with that came the Holy Spirit of God. That's the gift of God. That's the Comforter. Now, we've received that freely, but watch, I can't give the Holy Spirit to someone else. I can't bestow that on someone else. When I was born again, I got saved by the good grace of God. I can't save somebody else. I can't give salvation, so to speak. We'll talk about that in a minute. Part of the Holy Spirit's comfort in my heart and the peace that He gives me, I can't give peace in and of itself. I can't give it as it is. Only Jesus can do that. Now, I can take someone to Jesus, but I can't give somebody peace. And so there are some things that we have been given that we cannot give away by themselves, but there are some things that we have been given freely that I believe the Bible teaches that we can freely give away. And I want you to consider this morning, consider the fact that we are recipients, first of all, of God's unconditional love. God's unconditional love. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth or demonstrated, He manifested His love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved, notice this, from the wrath through Him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. You see, God says, when you were enemies of me, when you were sinners, when you were opposed to God's will, when you were opposed to God, the Bible says that God showed His unconditional love to us. Now, when it comes to love them, that means that these verses teach us that God never put a standard for us, put a standard before us to reach before we merited His love. In other words, there was nothing that God said, okay, well, if you're going to earn my love, you have to jump through this hoop. You have to finish A, B, and C, or you have to go through the gamut. You have to run the course. And then if you're good enough, then you earn my love. He never gave us any chores to do in order to earn His love. He never gave us a list of words that we have to repetitively say or a list of accomplishments to check off. We don't have some conditional agreement with Him before He would love us. The Bible says that He simply loved us. In other words, we received God's love freely, whether we knew about Him or not, whether we understood it or not, whether we believed in it or not, whether we grew up in church or not, whether we have disgraced Him or not, whether we've committed heinous sin or simply minor sins in our eyes. We are loved by a holy God unconditionally, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And because of that, we're called to take that love and to give it away in the same fashion. The Bible tells us in John 15 and verse 9, As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, Jesus said, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You see, God says, I have loved you. And to prove that, I've sent Jesus Christ to die for you. Now, that love that was unconditional, I didn't make you earn it. I didn't make you have to jump through any hoops. I didn't say you had to do a list of things. I didn't say there was some magical mantra that you had to memorize. I simply loved you for no other reason but that I am God and I love everybody. The fact of the matter is, God says that love is supposed to be given away. How? Freely. If we're not careful, we can become prejudiced with our love. If we're not careful, we can become demanding with our love. We can become expecting in our love. We can actually have reservations about love, which is the exact opposite of the word freely. And in doing any of that, we are charging people for it. You have to earn this. This is the payment for my love. If you love me back, I'll love you back. If you love me first, I'll love you back. If you treat me right, I'll love you back. If everything goes right between us, I'll love you back. God says, that's not how you received it. In fact, God's word says, when you were anti-God, when you were an enemy of the Most High, I loved you anyway. I have freely given you my love. You see, we're charging them our criteria if we are putting a condition, some sort of measuring up. And God says, no, I've given you my unconditional love so that when you extend love and kindness to people, they're going to know something about you. It's going to validate that you and I are on the same page. It's going to prove that you and I have the same mission that we are have the same purpose in life. You see, helping others is how we show the love of God. John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. You see, we've been freely given so much from God, and we could sit here for the rest of the day and we could count our blessings. But it started with God's unconditional love. One of the most powerful, the most valuable things we have ever been given by God was his love, because his love motivated his action, and people all around us need that. You see, God says, Jesus said to his disciples, look, I've bestowed these gifts to you. I have bestowed these abilities to you. I've given you this authority, and I want you to go and I want you to do these things, because, and in doing so, it's going to tell people, look, that you're with me. You're going to show people that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, that you were a follower and a learner, and you're someone who's willing to obey his commands. And when you do that, I want you to freely give it away. Don't charge, because you didn't do anything to earn it. I simply called you to myself in this high mountain. I bestowed these on you for one purpose, for others, not for you. God says, I want you to freely give what you freely received. And we have freely received God's unconditional love. Secondly, I think you would agree with me, we have received God's unmerited favor. God's unmerited favor. You see, this is what we know as the grace of God. Christians know this phrase, unmerited favor, as the grace of God. Do you realize that way back in Genesis chapter 3, you remember when Adam and Eve sinned and were banished from the Garden of Eden, and according to God's own words, sentenced to death by God himself? Do you realize that he didn't have to do anything else for them? He could have just let them die. Instead, he didn't even have to come to them. He didn't have to see that if they would confess. He didn't have to have the dialogue that he did with them in Genesis chapter 3, but he did. God didn't have to make sacrifices for them to cover their sin. He didn't have to sacrifice an animal and spill blood to remit that sin and cover their nakedness, but he did. What is that called? Grace. What's grace? Unmerited favor. Just like God's love is unearned or unmerited or unconditional, God's grace is the same. In fact, you could say grace is the epitome or the very definition of the word freely. There's no conditions attached. That's grace. God's favor for no other reason but that he loved them and wanted to save them from the curse of sin. Now, God didn't have to save Noah. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 that God looked down and saw that the world was going bananas with sin, that man's heart was only evil continually, that it was constantly deriving more and more of sin and figuring out more and more ways to please self and run away from God. And it grieved God that he had made man. God didn't have to save Noah when he destroyed the world by the flood. He could have ended it all, but he didn't. In fact, the Bible says it this way, but Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Why? Because Noah was this special. Well, the Bible does say that Noah walked with God and that Noah was righteous in all his generations, but Noah didn't do that in order to earn grace. He did that because he loved God who loved him first. And the Bible says that God saved his family. In the very same way, and for the very same reason, God sent Jesus Christ to the cross to die in order to remove our sin and rescind our sentence to death. Jesus was sent out of God's love for us to save us from sin. And when he died on our behalf, how was it done? It was done freely. No reservation, no hesitation, no condition. We didn't deserve it because we were special. We didn't deserve it because we were good. We didn't deserve it because we came from a certain neighborhood. Jesus wasn't crucified because of your skin color or your religious background. Jesus Christ died and gave himself for you by God's unmerited favor. He did it freely, the Bible says. The Bible tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we go to great deal to tell people when we're talking to them about salvation, trying to separate the goats from the sheep, so to speak, in vocabulary, saying, look, you know the difference between a wage and a gift. One is something you do in order to earn. One is something that you cannot earn at all. It's simply a gift. And God expresses that. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, being justified freely by his grace. How? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The beautiful part then about being a Christian is that the same grace that saves us is the same grace that is freely available every day for our life. But it's not meant only for us. Yes, do I need grace to carry on in this shelter in place? Yep. Do I need grace in order to be obedient? Do I need grace to stay in pursuit of the will of God for my life? Absolutely, and so do you. But that's not where it stops. The grace of God is not meant just for Christians. And it's certainly not just meant for a single Christian. For there are many others who need it. That's why for those of us that have been given it freely, it's meant also to be given away. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, wherefore laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You see, to be gracious in your speech, to be gracious in how you deal with people, means to be kind. You understand this because the greatest kindness that was ever shown to anybody was that Jesus would die for us. That God would take his only son and lay it on the altar of sin to be sacrificed for you and me. It means to be friendly, to be kind, not only in word, but in deed. It means to be merciful. It means to be favorable to others. You see, we have it kind of backwards. We want everyone else's favor, don't we? God says, no, you don't understand. I've given you favor. I give it to you freely. I didn't say you had to earn it. I loved you not because you were special. God says to Israel, I didn't love you because you were the biggest nation. I didn't love you because you were the smartest nation. I loved you just because I'm love. And I've loved you with an everlasting love. And I've bestowed you my son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, here, look, take this message to the lost sheep of Israel. They need signs. Take them the signs. Heal people. Raise the dead if you have to. Tell the demons to take a hike. Whatever you got to do. Just so they can know Jesus is the Messiah. And the way we have received from God all of that, the disciples were to take it and give it away. And we've been given even more than the disciples. You say, well, they had Jesus in person. Yeah, but I have him living in me now. True graciousness doesn't require that people act or react or speak in a certain way in order to obtain your kindness or your favor. Because Jesus said, look, I've freely given you these things to go and freely give it away to someone else. Freely you have received, Jesus said, freely give. True graciousness doesn't require that people speak in a certain way in order to obtain your kindness. God freely gave us favor, and we are to give that favor so that others can receive it. How? Freely. What's strange to me is when I see unsaved people acting more gracious and kind and favorable than Christians. Sometimes people who've experienced the greatest grace can live so entitled, can't we? We've been given so much. It's almost like you hear of some wealthy man not wanting to give their children all of the wealth because they don't want them to live an entitled life. They don't want them just to assume things and become some, forgive me, spoiled, rotten brat. And I think if we're not careful, Christians become spoiled, rotten brats. We've been given so much. We've been given so much freely. And God says, look, I'm not giving you this for you as the end of all things. I'm giving you this so that you can take of my love and give it away. I'm being gracious to you so that you can be gracious to others. There's something else we've received. Not just God's unmerited favor and not just his unconditional love. We've been given God's unlimited forgiveness. When you read the New Testament, you hear of Jesus healing all sorts of people who were in a very bad state physically, in some way, form, or fashion. People born blind, or they were lame from birth, or having some physical burden. But if you pay attention long enough in the Gospels, you see that Jesus was aware of a greater burden living in each and every one of them. Something that was far more burdensome than blindness. Something that was far more painful to live with than leprosy. It's called sin. Living with sin is the greatest burden of all. How do I unload the guilt that comes with all of the decisions that I've made that has burdened my soul? How do I do that? Jesus saw through all of the problems and he went right to the heart of the matter. In fact, in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2, when they could not bring one man that was born of four that was lame on a pallet, the Bible says, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven. He did not first say, I want you to stand on your feet. He did not first say any of that. What did he do? He saw the real burden. He saw the burden of a man broken in his heart and burdened in his heart. And he said, your sins are forgiven thee. Now I want you to understand today, whenever he sees a heart that by faith is in need of healing from sin, he gives them his forgiveness. How does he give it to them? Freely. The word means dismissed. The word forgiveness means dismiss, to let go, to be freed. Friend, do you understand that when you call in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, when you come to Him and recognize, I have a burden I can't get rid of, and Jesus is the only means of my hope because He died on the cross for my sin. Do you realize that when you call on the name of the Lord Jesus to save you and forgive you, it's not delayed, it's immediate, it's dismissed. Sin that burdens you is forever gone. Hallelujah. Man, that is the day when people have said to me, Pastor, I feel like this big burden sack has been taken off my back, like this burden has been relieved off my chest. I feel free. That's exactly what we've been given. Hallelujah. We have been freed, not because we were good, but because God is good, because God is faithful, and by the blood of Jesus Christ, He offers us unlimited forgiveness. Free forgiveness is sin had to be paid for, and Jesus paid for it all. His forgiveness doesn't require penance. It doesn't. It doesn't require that you bare your knees and get on them and walk over glass. It doesn't require that you self-flagellate. It doesn't require that you do something or refrain from something else in order to earn His forgiveness. That would be payment. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, Jesus already paid for it. And He gives it to you and I through Himself freely. Without hesitation, without restriction. All you have to do is come to Him. You may be listening to this right now and your heart is beating. You feel this burden on your chest. You feel that you're in a place where you can't make sense of things. And as I speak the very word of God, the Holy Spirit of God is saying, yes, that's you. You need to be saved. You need to be saved. Jesus paid for your sin. All you have to do is come to Him today. Ephesians 1 and verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted into the beloved, in whom, that is Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Glory to God for His gifts. I don't know about you, but it feels amazing to be forgiven by God. To have my sins dismissed means that every time the devil brings them up, I just have to go to Ephesians chapter 1 or John chapter 3, and I just have to remember, wait a minute, the shedding of blood brought the remission of my sin, and I put my faith in Jesus Christ. And though the devil may bring them up when my heart fails, God is greater than my heart, according to 1 John. I don't know about you, but it feels amazing to be forgiven. And it also feels amazing when we can forgive others. When there's strife, when there's a quarrel, when there's a problem, when there's a grudge, when there's bitter envying, when whatever it is that is a problem in a relationship, it feels amazing to be able to give that forgiveness and have God heal. Matthew 6 and verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Ephesians 4 and verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This last week, my son and I had devotions out of that passage of Scripture. And there's just something sweet and amazing when children read the Bible. When children read the verse, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another. You see, be ye kind to one another, that's grace. Tender hearted is loving one another, forgiving one another. What is that? All that we'd be given to God, God says, I want you to freely give away. You see, the pattern's the same. We're to forgive We're to give forgiveness to others at no charge. What does that mean? They shouldn't have to wait for it. Did you wait when you confessed your sin to God? Was it, I'm coming to you now, Lord Jesus, and will you please save me from my sin? And he said, well, just hold on. I want to make you wait for this. Or for the Christian that has been unfaithful to God, who has said no to his will, who has delayed his response. For the Christian who in and of their own actions long before COVID has made the church non-essential in their life. When you asked for forgiveness and wanted to come back to having the joy of the Lord, did God make you wait? No. In fact, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. It doesn't say, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just after we wait to forgive us our sins. God didn't make you wait for it. They shouldn't have to wait for it. Nobody should. You didn't. They shouldn't have to perform for it. You and I didn't. They shouldn't have to meet a certain criteria or a time schedule or an attitude change. They shouldn't have to meet anything. Why? Because I have freely received and I'm supposed to freely give it away. Every person is forgivable. You say, well, I don't see it that way. I don't see how some people who've done some awful things to me, or some people that have done awful things in this world, could ever be forgiven. I just don't see it that way. Well, what I want you to understand is that God does see it that way. Every person is forgivable, which means every sin is forgivable. The only sin that is unforgivable is when you say no to God's salvation. When the Holy Spirit of God brings you to the truth and you say no, that's unforgivable. What's the punishment? Spending eternity in hell. Now, the fact of the matter is, God doesn't make me have to perform for it. He said, I don't care what you've done. I love you unconditionally. I don't care what you've committed. I have given you my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I have made him available for you. And all you have to do is accept my forgiveness because I'm offering it to you through him. Every person is forgivable. Every sin is forgivable. Because Jesus died for all sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Will you come to Christ this morning? Would you? Would you let him take the sin that you live with every day? Would you let him dismiss it? What a great phrase. Would you let him remove it and set you free? Because if you will, he will also give you, number four, God's eternal hope. What have we been given? Of all things that the Bible says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. I firmly believe that one cannot live in full confidence in this life until they have the full confidence for the next life. I also believe one of the reasons so many people are living in fear of this disease among us is because they have no eternal hope for heaven. There are so many people walking around without Christ, and because they're without Christ, they have no hope. They know it in their heart. They don't know God's love. They don't know God's grace. They have no idea that the heaviest burden that they face is not whether or not they get this disease, but what's going to happen when I die and the sin that I live with. And what they need is what all born-again believers have been given freely, the gospel. The power of God unto salvation that is profitable for eternal life. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope. How? Through grace. What are we supposed to do? Comfort your hearts and establish you, notice, in every good word and work. The pattern's the same. In the current pandemic, the scramble is for a vaccine to prevent people from procuring COVID and to prevent people from dying from it. And in many ways, COVID is like sin when I say it's worldwide. But sin is unlike any other disease, including COVID-19, in many ways. And that is how. Sin is in everybody because we're all born with it. 100% of the world is affected and infected by sin. For all have sinned. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon, listen, all men. For that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. God has already determined, and he sees that all of us live with that disease. Sin is not contagious because everyone is already cursed by it. And unlike COVID, sin always concludes in death. The wages of sin is death. The Bible talks about death and hell giving up those that were in them. Why? Because of sin. And unlike COVID, sin already has a cure. The cure is the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. 2 Peter chapter 1. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power. Notice. Hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. That hath called us to glory and to virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Hallelujah, thine the glory. God has given me a promise, and he's given every born-again believer a promise that when we die, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful to know for sure that if I died, whereby heart attack, whereby COVID, whereby stroke, or by car accident, I'm going to be with Jesus. I have that assurance that Jesus is mine. That is the hope of eternal life. 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The gift of eternal life was given to us to provide us with an assured future in heaven. That hope that we possess is what gets us through every day and every week and every month, provided we look to it. The Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and the gracious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if we look to it, it gives us hope. It reminds us, oh yeah, this place is not comparable to the place that I'm going to. And I'm going to be relieved of all of this burden one day that I have in my flesh. But that hope is not meant just for you. It's not meant just for me. Your soul was not the last depository of hope. Why was it freely given? Through Christ. It was meant to be given away. You have freely received the gift of salvation, Christian. You've freely given. You didn't have to earn the hope that you have in heaven. Jesus freely laid down his life. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, giving it all away. And he did. But he didn't give that hope to you just so that you could have hope. He gave it to you so that you could give it to someone else. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give. To give what? To give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Titus chapter 3 and verse 6. Which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Speaking of grace. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men, all men. You see, the pattern's the same. It doesn't matter what we've been given by God freely. Jesus said, go and freely give it away. Everyone will know when you are loving people, when you're gracious to people, when you're willing to forgive, when they see the hope that is in your eyes, they will say, I want some of that. And you can give it to them. When you look at your life spiritually speaking, the only reasonable conclusion that you can come to, especially if you're a born-again child of God, is that God, you are so good and I am so blessed. We have been given it all freely. The Bible says, go back, look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. The Bible says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We as believers have been freely given by God so much, but it wasn't meant for us. And it's so easy when we're in these situations that we're in, where we're fearful of this and fearful of that and questioning that and doubting this and skeptic of that, that the devil turns us inside and we become introverted and introspective and everything is about us. And God says, no, that's not why I've given you any of it. Whatever you've received freely from me. And my expectation and hope and glory is when you give it away, when you bear much fruit. God gave you what you have in Jesus Christ for that reason. Let me say this morning. If you don't have the eternal hope of heaven and you're in need of God's forgiveness today, all you have to do is go to Christ. Run to Him. Jesus is your only hope. I will say that. This church is not your only hope. I am not your only hope. Jesus Christ is your only hope to be saved. He is your only hope for forgiveness. He is your only Savior, and He is God's gift to you. The wages of sin is death, and you bear that in condemnation right now, according to John 3, 17 and 18. But Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save it, and that includes you. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That gift you can receive right now. Right where you are, you can bow your head. And I would encourage you to do that. You're lost and you don't know for sure. If you died right now, you'd be in heaven. But you want to know so badly. You want your sins forgiven so badly. Would you just come to Christ today? Could I invite you right where you are just to bow your head and close your eyes? And as you listen to these words that I say to you, would you from your mouth repeat them back to the Lord with all of your heart? If you want to be saved, you could say something like this to the Lord and mean it. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I believe that you love me unconditionally. I believe that you died to pay for my sin. I believe that you rose again from the dead. Jesus, right now, I ask, will you please forgive me of my sin? Would you please come into my life and save me and take me to heaven when I die. Thank you for saving me. Amen. You see, the Bible promise in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 is whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, friend, think about that. God's promise to you is that you'll be saved if you come to Christ. If you call and are dependent only on Jesus, not religion, to save you, the promise is that He'll save you. How is that even possible? Because He loved you unconditionally. And you didn't do anything to deserve that love. He freely gave it to you. He sent Jesus as the gift of grace to save you. For by grace are you saved through faith and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. If you came to Jesus today, if you come to Jesus today, He will freely forgive you. And I speak on behalf of millions and billions of Christians today and gone that have been forgiven. We live free. God will give that to you. When you do receive Christ, you receive the eternal hope of heaven. You know now where you're going to die, and nobody can take that from you. Now, Christian, the reality for us is that we've already been given that. The question is, will we not take it for granted? Would we not only be grateful? Would we not only offer our praise and thanksgiving to God? But would we be ready and willing to give it away? Someone today in your life needs your forgiveness and you won't give it. You need to give it. Why? Why do I? They don't deserve it. Neither did we. God forgave us anyway. Don't make them wait for it anymore. Don't make them have to do something. Just tell them, I love you, and what happened between us, I'm so sorry. Will you please forgive me? And let's go on from this. Let's heal. Somebody needs your unconditional love. Don't make them wait for it. Don't make them jump through hoops. Just love them. And be gracious. And be kind and friendly and favorable to others. And I know that's what God will bless. Why? Because it's meant to be given away. Father, we love you and we thank you for your word. I thank you for loving us so freely, so unconditionally, God. I thank you for the encouragement these passages have been to me this week. And God, I'm so thankful that you forgive faithfully, justly, and immediately. God, today I pray that you challenge Christians. Lord, we don't have to be present in a building in order to be challenged by the word of God. We don't have to have the shelter in place order lifted in order to be obedient and challenged by the word of God. Lord, all we have to have is the opportunity. Lord, therefore, as you have given us all opportunity to do good, let us do it. Let us show the world that we're on the same page as you. Let us show our own family that we have the same purpose in life as you, and that is helping others to be the best version of themselves. And I pray that you be glorified. Lord, we thank you for the day. Pray that you bless the remainder of it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to thank you for tuning in today. Before we sign off here, I need to just speak just for a minute or two concerning a need that we have in our church. And many of you have noticed from the beginning of our broadcast online services that we have evolved, so to speak. And we've gone from what was just a Facebook Live on a phone that was right over here to my right. We've gone to having a picture that's much clearer, and it's even much more clear today, and sound that went through an amazing process and now is much clearer today. Hopefully it has been. And in doing so, a lot of people have commented, and I'm thankful to that. We need all the feedback that we can possibly get, and we've gotten it. And we're certainly grateful for all of it. In doing all the things that we've done, really, to maintain a ministry during this time, I believe that God has used this COVID-19 and this pandemic to take us to where we needed to be all along. And in doing that, we have been very budgetary and very cautious and careful with the money that we've spent. Not very much. I think maybe $500 or a little bit more than that in the last 10 weeks to get where we are. Unfortunately, the downside to that is in doing the upgrading, what we've done, our computer that we have in the back is now redlining. In other words, that computer is 8 years old. Before the pandemic, it was questionable at best. If you'd ever been here at our services, many videos wouldn't run. Oftentimes, the screens would glitch. It would just sit back there, and I would sit and look at them, and they would be like, I don't know what to do. The computer is dying. That was before COVID-19. Now, the computer is in ICU. That is every single week. We are begging God, please let this hardware work and help it not to crash. And praise the Lord, it didn't do that today. And in regards to that, what I'd like you to do is pray. Would you pray and ask the Lord if you could, above your tithes and offerings, would you be willing to give a certain amount to help us with that? Now, I want to give some of the details later about that. It's not a cheap fix. What we need to be able to run the screens in our building, what we need to be able to run the equipment for live stream services and things like that is expensive. And I want to put out an email to everybody just kind of describing what it is and why we need it. But before I give the amount, I want you to pray and say, Lord, would you want me? Could I be involved in this? And whatever you give, that's between you and the Lord. But it behooves us as God's people to say we all need to share this burden. I'll say this. It's a $7,000 purchase just to get the computer that we need in order to run everything that's going on right now so that you could sit in your home. And we may not be back, if the county health officer has her way, we won't be back in services for the whole month of June. To be honest, they said to me last week, we're not even sure if the computer will be on this week. Last week, it was to the minute. I think there were minutes before church started last week when they were wondering if the computer was going to work. And I say that to create not just an urgency, but help you to understand if you've received this blessing and you're tuning in today, it's in large part because there were people who gave before who gave for that computer. And that was a refurbished iMac that we got before, and that was 8 years ago, and it is on its last leg. We have had several people look at it who work in the computer industry, and they've all agreed this thing is on its last leg. It's not fixable. We've got to upgrade. So what I would like you to do is pray, and I'd like you to give, and I'd like you to give generously. I'd like you to give toward this, because this is not just helping us that are here in Morgan Hill. This is helping people in a variety of other places. So if you'd be willing to do that, we'd like you to do that. You can go on PushPay. You can download the PushPay app and look for Shadow Mountain Baptist Church. And you can specify in there, you can set it to as far as the what you're giving toward to other. And you can specify in the memo toward the computer and the AV upgrade if you want to put anything like that in there. And that would help us. If you want to send a check, you can certainly do that as well. And if you want to maybe deliver it in person, just say, Pastor or whoever's here, I want to give this to the church. You can mail it in or whatnot. And so I hope that you will, and I hope that you understand the need. And certainly it's been a huge blessing to so many people. And I want it to continue long after we're meeting together, because I believe if we're not just because we're in the 21st century, but because of where we live in an area that largely the first impression that people have of our church and of the ministry is going to be the message they receive through these kinds of means. So I hope that you'll pray about that, and I hope that you'll join me in giving, and that you'll join our church in taking on this project and raising that. That would be amazing, and I know that God would be pleased. And so if you've received a blessing from it, I hope that you'll return it back and give toward it, and I know that God will be blessing you for that, because the Bible tells us that he will in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And so with that, I just want to say thank you again for tuning in today. I hope the message was a help to you. If you have any questions,